Hebrews 11:6 talks about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But we might, you know, apply that first part to any different approach to God in faith, you know, faith for whatever needs we have or something. But notice what he's actually talking about in verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe. So he's talking about faith to come to God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, he'll make it worth your while to come to God. Now, when we think about coming to God, we think about prayer, right? You can come to God to worship him too, but really that's another form of prayer. You're fellowshipping with God and partaking of his spirit and so forth. But in looking at this, I just want to share some things kind of out of my heart. I don't know how much it'll be teachy, how much it'll be just sort of talking about some things about the kind of prayer we're doing in this kind of setting where we're praying corporately. I would like to pray about camp meeting tonight. How many of you would like to get into some prayer time on that? But to do that, I want to talk a little bit about corporate prayer and really, because corporate prayer's got, well, corporate prayer is a little different than praying on your own individually, because we're praying, this is united prayer. Remember Acts chapter number 4 talks about after they were beaten, command not to preach in the name of Jesus, they were let go and went to their own company, and they lifted up the voice, said to God, Lord, your God, and so forth. And it says they lifted up their voice in one accord. See, this is united prayer. You see that throughout the New Testament, where they got together and prayed unitedly. And they did it in one accord. And it said they lifted up their voice. Singular. It didn't say voices, although obviously they were each saying something. They were lifting up their individual voices. But heaven recorded it as one voice. That's what it says in Acts 4. They lifted up their voice. So God in heaven heard it as one voice. It was united prayer. They were united. It wasn't one person over here, praying about grandma, and another person over here praying about their needs, and somebody back here praying about the election or something like that. They were all praying about the same thing. There's a time for all of us just sort of get in our own prayer closet. I mean, in a corporate building like this, just each one of us just kind of talk to God, but we might be talking to God about anything from soup to nuts. You ever heard that term? You never heard that term? But you know what I mean, soup to nuts? I mean, it just could be anything. And there's a time for that. But united prayer is totally different. When we get together in united prayer, we're all talking to God about the same thing. Amen? And that has leadership over it. Somebody's directing that by the Spirit. And we don't have time to get into it at all of that tonight. But to do that, then we got to talk a little bit about corporate prayer to do that effectively. Since we're here doing that, why don't we talk about how to do that effectively? Amen. First of all, to pray effectively corporately, let's put it that way. Because how many of you know James chapter number 5 talks about in verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, makes tremendous power available, the Amplified says. But effectual, fervent, effectual prayer is, that's another word for effective prayer. Amen. Effective. What's the use of praying if it's not effective? You know, the devil doesn't care that we pray. He's trying to keep us from being effective in prayer. Amen. And he's trying to keep us, once we become effective, he's got strategies to try to shut that down. And I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. But then he's also, and he doesn't like any individual in the body of Christ being effective. And he surely doesn't like corporate, you know, like a local church coming together corporately, praying corporately and being effective at that. Because that's more powerful. Yes. How many of you know we're here not too far, an hour or whatever, not far from the Mississippi River? And, you know, when we get over here to Davenport or wherever, and we're going across the Mississippi, it's pretty wide. But, you know, when it starts up there, is that Minnesota that starts at somewhere up there? It's just a little trickle. But what happens? As the trickle comes down, it begins, other little tributaries begin to flow into it. And it goes further and more tributaries flow into it. It goes further, more tributaries. And by the time it gets to the Gulf of Mexico, it's the sum total of all those tributaries that flowed into it. And it's a mighty deluge down there. It's pretty mighty here. Right? Well, that's what flowing together in united prayer is like. We all bring our tributary to the corporate flow of the Spirit, and that my tributary added to your tributary, added to somebody over here's tributary, and all of us flowing as one corporate body makes tremendous power available.
Yes, come on.
Because we're all bringing our supply, which is what God has put in our hearts, the utterance He's put in our hearts to talk about God, talk with God about. Like He's still praying about camp meeting. We're praying about camp meeting in a supply of our heart, what's in our heart, and somebody else is the same thing. And that can be a greater deluge.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So He's got strategies to try to shut that down, but we're smarter than the devil. Right? We don't fall for his strategies. We're not ignorant of his devices. So, but let's talk about this. Let's talk about, because one of the things he said here, he that cometh to God, he that cometh, you know, Hebrews 11:6, he that cometh to God, he's got to use his faith to come to God. Well, if coming to God is done by faith, then and coming to God refers to prayer. I mean, it could refer to something else, but that's the main thing it means. Comes to God refers to prayer. Then and it's done by faith. Then we come into His presence. Come to God means come into His presence. Now, there's I don't have time to get into all this, but He lives on the inside of us, so we don't have to travel somewhere physically.
Right.
He lives right on the inside of us. But this coming to God has to do with turning our attention away from natural distractions, whatever's going on, the cares of the day or whatever, and turning our attention to Him and entering into His presence, or let's put it this way, entering into the awareness of His presence and awareness of what's in our heart rather than what's been going on in our minds all day. Right? Or awareness of what the Spirit is giving us unction to pray about as opposed to what our feelings are feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Somebody might not treat you real well today and you got kind of miffed about it today. Well, to get in the presence of God, you got to get above that.
Amen.
Amen. You got to get above that.
Yes.
Praise God. Everybody over here looks pretty sanctimonious. Let's go over here. You got to get above that. Yeah, somebody did me wrong. You got your feelings hurt. Well, to come to God and get into His presence, you got to rise above that.
Yeah.
And it takes faith to rise above that.
Yeah.
Amen. You ever been to a prayer meeting and you're sort of miffed or kind of feeling bad or, feeling unworthy because you haven't necessarily crossed all your T's and dotted all your I's spiritually? And maybe you got distracted this morning when you went to prayer and got to watching YouTube for an hour. And so it comes time to pray, and you're not necessarily in the Spirit.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You're sort of under a cloud of condemnation.
Yeah. Come on.
Sort of in your emotions.
Yeah.
And you go to corporate prayer like this at Spirit of Faith Family Church, and everybody starts praying. They get on a bus and go somewhere, and you feel like you're back there still wondering, where'd they go? You're back here in your emotions.
Yeah. Come on.
Where'd they go? Or it's like they got on an airplane, took off, and they went up there somewhere, but me, I'm still back here on the ground with all my feelings and all my emotions and how somebody treated me today. Boy, I'm preaching good whether you say amen or not. I've been in prayer meetings like that, and I'm thinking, I got to get above this because I can tell right now I'm in my emotions.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah.
We live more in our emotions than we want to realize sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I said we. I'm not talking about you.
Come on.
You're a part of we.
Yeah, we are.
But, right? Hallelujah. Well, they just didn't do this the way I wanted them to or something. Get over it.
Yeah.
Or else stay down on the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
When you could rise up and soar like an eagle.
Yeah.
Get in the presence of God. Mount up.
Mount up.
Praise God. And get on over into the Spirit. Praise God. Anywho, that's all free. So notice here, if you look through the Bible carefully, and I won't take the time to look at all these, but there's several times in the Bible that the Bible shows us that there is preparation that needs to happen before we get into prayer. And I don't have time to go to all the verses, but just think about one maybe we're real familiar with. This is just a different category of preparation. But Mark 11:24 says, "What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them." And then it says, "And when you stand praying," in verse 25. When you stand praying, so he's talking about, he's connecting this to this time of prayer. He said, "When you stand praying, forgive." In other words, you're going to go to prayer, Mark 11:24, and while you go to prayer, you realize, boy, I've been mad and miffed at somebody. Amen. And here I am wanting to pray. And how many of you know those things can hinder your fellowship with God? They can hinder your faith, right? Isn't that right? Because the condition of your heart is there's, like, let's say it's unforgiveness. The condition, you ever notice the Bible talks about not hiding iniquity in your heart? You ever notice that you can go to God sometimes in prayer, and if you're holding unforgiveness against somebody, what you're doing is you're hiding iniquity in your heart.
Exactly.
You ever notice that makes it hard to pray?
Oh, yeah.
It's not that God's not right there.
Yeah.
It's that our own heart's condemning us.
Exactly. Yeah. That's good.
And so you go to prayer, you come to prayer like this, and everybody else, maybe they got all the things of their day off of them before they got to church, and you didn't get that all off of you before you got to church, and you're kind of sitting over here because they're over there, and you didn't want to talk to them tonight.
Oh, boy.
Why am I standing in front of you? No. but if that's on the inside, I mean, like I said, people can get in some vehicle and go somewhere, and they're all woohoo! They're getting things in the spirit and everything else. And you're sitting over here going, I have no idea what's going on right now. Right? Praise God. The Bible's telling us to deal with that before we go to prayer. That's why he's telling us to deal, Mark 11:25, telling us to deal with that, because that'll hinder our prayer. It'll hinder our fellowship with God. It'll hinder our ability to lay hold of what God wants to do in that time of prayer. It'll hinder our sensitivity to the Holy Ghost in that time of prayer. Amen. And so that's just one example. We could use many others. But he's telling us that the condition of our heart has to be right if we're going to be effective in prayer.
Yes.
You know, effective means get results.
Yes.
If somebody's been praying for 25 years for something and nothing has ever changed.
Yeah.
And somebody says, boy, they're really effective in prayer. I mean, like, can you bring the dictionary? I want to define effective here because that doesn't make sense to me. Right? So, all right. Now, to prepare ourselves in prayer includes making sure there's no unforgiveness in our heart. We just read that. How many of you know it keeps that kind of thing keeps us out of the presence of God, makes us ineffective in fellowship, so forth. But there are times that there's nothing we have done. There's no iniquity in our heart. It's just the devil's just got a jackhammer with thoughts of unworthiness. Telling us, you know, you didn't do this right. You didn't do this right. And, you know, because you're a work in progress, maybe you're aware of your insufficiencies.
Right.
Yeah. But how many of you know the devil's the one bringing all those thoughts? He's the Bible says in Revelation 12:11, he's the accuser of the brethren. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to keep you from going to God. Boldly. He wants you to tuck your tail between your legs. And come like a worm. And not come in faith. Am I making any sense? So, one of the greatest enemies of faith is condemnation. And what I'm here to say tonight is things like condemnation, or if there actually is unforgiveness, or you're miffed at somebody, you're offended at somebody, or something like that. Get those things off of you before you come to these times of prayer. In other words, maybe, you know, getting home from work, spend a little time in the presence of God, just worshiping God, reminding yourself of your righteousness. Go to James 5, verse 16. We referred to it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. The righteous. Ah, so God connects effective prayer to righteousness. The effect of fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now, put that together, James 5:16. Put that together with Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, where is that? I thought I had it right in front of me. Where it talks about, I'm looking for the reference. It's here somewhere. Where it talks about, in righteousness shalt thou be established. 54:14. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Now, when he says in James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's what we want. We want to avail much.
Yeah.
Amplified says make power available. Yeah. Tremendous power available.
Come on.
Dynamic
yes.
in its action.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's make some power available to camp meeting tonight.
Yes.
That kind of power is made available through a man who is not only righteous, James 5:16, but Isaiah 54:14, he's established in his righteousness. If you read closely throughout the Bible, Revelation 12:11 is one of them, but being established in your righteousness is just as important as being righteous. You know what I mean by, you know what the difference is between those two things? You are made the righteousness of God in the new birth.
Yes.
But you can let the devil just yakety-yak-yak to your mind and put you under a cloud of condemnation to where you, the righteousness that is yours and the privileges that that gives you in prayer is not making you effectual in prayer because you're listening to the voice of condemnation, guilt, shame, unworthiness, which means you can't approach God boldly rather than listening to the word which says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And so whether it's really something that's wrong, that like offends against somebody or unforgiveness, or it's just the devil's yakety yak yak, both of them, you got to deal with them before you pray.
Yes, that's good.
Does that make any sense?
Yes, sir.
And don't let the devil tell you you are guilty of something just because you feel guilty. Go to Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number, go over here. Let's notice something. Verse 19 through 23. Hebrews 10:19-23. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. See, that's really one of the things we do when we come boldly to the throne is prayer. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near, look at this, with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience that's guilty, a sense of guilt, a conscience that has a sense of guilt. That can be because something's bothering your spirit. You've done something and it bothers your spirit. How many of you know you got to get that cleaned up before God? Or look at the next thing. And our bodies washed with pure water. There can be nothing wrong in your conscience, but your body needs washed. The body has feelings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And those feelings need to be washed in the water of the word sometimes because even though there's nothing you've done that bothering your conscience, yet your body has feelings of unworthiness. Because of all the yakety yak yak. And you need to wash that off of you by the washing of the water word. How do you do that? Father, I want to thank you that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I want to thank you that like Jesus, that you hear me always. I thank you that you give me boldness through the blood to come boldly to the throne of grace. And just start talking like that until it washes. That's the washing of the water of the word. And it washes it all off of you. Before you know it, you're before the throne of God with full faith and full confidence, able to lay hold of what you went there to obtain.
Amen.
Can you see the difference there? There's two things. There's the cleansing of the conscience, that's through the blood, and then there's the washing of the water with the washing of the water. I mean, the washing of the body through the washing of the water of the word. And so your feelings, you can have feelings of unworthiness, but those aren't necessarily guilt from God. Or your spirit, let's put it this way, your spirit, that's not necessarily your spirit bothering you. The thing I've noticed is a lot of Christians have never broken out of the feelings of unrighteousness. And the devil just hounds them and they live sort of under a cloud of oppression. God wants you free from that. Because you're not able to really be used for him under that kind of condition. He wants to use you. Right? Hallelujah. Praise God. Do like Revelation 12:11 says, make confessions of faith in the blood.
Yes.
They overcame the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Blood, testimony about the blood, testimony about the blood, testimony. What's the blood done? What's the blood done? What's the blood done? The blood has made me worthy. The blood speaks of better things than that of Abel's. Abel spoke of a crime that was done, an injustice that was done that needed to be paid, needed to be punished. That was Abel's blood said that. But Jesus' blood says something better than Abel's. His blood doesn't speak of a crime that needs to be punished. His blood speaks of justification that makes you worthy. Hallelujah. So say the same thing as the blood says, and it'll give you a bold entrance into the presence of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you, I'm having a good time tonight. So prayer is the most effective when the word of God is abiding in you. The Bible says, or there's a number of places, and we're not taking all the time to go to them, but that we've got to prepare ourselves for prayer. Part of the preparation is getting the word in us or speaking that word that is in us. To get these feelings off of us so we can come boldly. Isn't that right? Prepare ourselves in the word to pray. And prayer is the most effective when the word is abiding in us, but not just the word concerning the thing that we need that we're going to pray about. Prayer is the most effective when we have the word of righteousness abiding in us and we're established in our rights. See, righteousness gives you rights. To approach the throne. It gives you a standing at the throne of God that makes you worthy. Praise God. Hallelujah. If that dawned on you, you'd go to God more regularly. Hallelujah. So, bring, God wants everyone in this corporate prayer time, God wants every one of us to bring our supply of prayer. And so we all have to get past all those feelings. Or deal with any iniquity in our hearts, anything that's in there that's, you know, wrong that God's dealing with us about, right? We have to get past all that. And as we do, then you add your tributary to this time of prayer, and it becomes a greater force, a greater flow. Hallelujah. Greater power is released. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says every joint supplieth, right? And so deal with those issues of the heart. And don't wait till you get to church to do that. Get it off of you at the in the car, maybe on the way or something like that. You know, you come with your day all. There could be a number of things you need to get off of. You might need to get the cares of your day off of you or all the distractions of your day or, you know, just the sense of unworthiness or whatever. Or maybe there is something like, you know, unforgiveness. You deal with that. How many of you know there's a cure for all this stuff? Faith in the blood. Faith in the blood.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, see, we come together in times of prayer like this, and, you know, outwardly, we can look fine. But boy, when we go to prayer, it shows up really what's going on the inside. Because some people just sort of sputter. You know, they're not hitting on all cylinders. Well, somebody else took off and went somewhere, and we're back here going,
come on.
Right? Amen. And so, you can laugh. That was good. That's a good illustration. It's important that every joint supplies. Or, let's put it this way, every heart is flowing. There's a flow of the Spirit through every person's heart flowing into the corporate prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, it takes preparation to get to that place. Doesn't it? And so, quote the word to yourself. About your righteousness. Get condemnation off of you. Turn away from the distractions of your day. And so forth and so on. Tell the devil he's a liar. Right? Otherwise you won't bring a supply to these kinds of prayer. I mean, your body might be present. Right? Praise the Lord. But that's different than the bringing a supply. And so don't come to these times to bum a blessing off everybody else. Well, I know I'm not, you know, ready to pray tonight, but I'll just let everybody else get it off of me. Well, thank God for that, but don't live that way where you're depending on everybody else to get these things off of you. Amen. Build your own self up in the word. Answer the feelings and the thoughts yourself. Amen. And so the group that you're going to pray with, is making a supply to you. You make a purpose in your heart. See, when we come to these meetings, these kinds of meetings, maybe the other kinds of services, maybe you're just kind of coming to receive. But in these kinds of meetings, you're coming to bring something. And so don't bum a blessing off of, just don't treat these services like every other service where you're just sort of taken in. Yeah. This is a place where you come to bring something.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And so learn to bring come to these meetings, bringing with yourself prepared to make a supply. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Don't just live depending on somebody else's faith.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Practice doing these things yourself. And so have you ever noticed, I've noticed this, I'm in the ministry, been in the ministry, Pastor Debbie and I for years, decades, but I've noticed this, different services, every service is different.
Yes,
now there's different flows of the Spirit in every service, and that's one reason things are different.
Yes.
You know what I mean? God doesn't want to do the same thing in every service.
Right?
And so that's one reason, but another reason is because people come in differently.
Yeah.
In different spiritual conditions from one service to another. Well, I've learned that. I've learned that I come into services differently from one service to another if I'm not careful. See, it's my job to come in always ready to bring what God has and move with God, preach the word like he puts in my heart. But it's also your job to come in ready for whatever God wants to do. Amen. And get things off of you. Now, a good leader, he'll recognize where people are, and he'll take them from where they are to where God wants them to get to. Right? The Bible talks about in Proverbs 27, know the state of your flocks. So a good leader, he'll recognize this is where the people are tonight, and this is where God wants to go. So how do we get them from here to where they need to go, where God wants to go today?
Amen.
And you just dip in the Holy Ghost, find out how to get there.
Yes,
and this is what the Lord put in my heart to get there tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so this is, we should all come in fellowship with God.
Yeah.
Meaning, built up in the Word,
yes.
In prayer,
yes.
Got all anything dealt with that he's dealing with us about,
yes.
Right? And come in having had a cleansing bath of the Word. You know, some of us might have jobs where we get dirty or sweat, and so we'll take a bath or shower before we come to church. Well, how about a shower of the Word?
Yeah.
You can take a shower and still come in and stink.
That's good.
Stinky attitude. Right? Hallelujah. Praise God. So you have to believe that you have a supply. That God, that you can actually add something to this ministry.
Yes.
You can actually add something to camp meeting.
Yes.
Absolutely. Come on.
Right. Amen. And part of that is prayer. Right? The devil tells a lot of people that, you don't know anything about prayer. You know, and you really don't have much to offer. And every time you do go to prayer, the devil, so they've not learned the strategy of the enemy, but the devil, come, they start to pray, the devil come, he'll say, well, look at you, aren't you a pretty thing? You've had a bad attitude all day. You know those thoughts that were going through your mind. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, what's he doing? He's trying to keep you out of bringing your supply.
Yes, come on.
We all know what I'm talking about, don't we? And so he'll tell people that, you know, don't even try. Even if you've had wrong thoughts, even if you, whatever you spouted off and said today, get it right.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise God. It can happen just like that. Doesn't take long for the blood to cleanse you.
Yeah. Come on, that's good.
It might take some faith to get over the feelings.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on.
All right. So the first thing we do when we come to corporate prayer is we go somewhere. We come boldly to the throne of grace. Right? Now, that's easier done individually than it is corporately. Why is that? Because to do it corporately, we have to be united and we have to all turn away from what distracts.
Yes.
Amen. Now, I doubt if there's ever a service where 100% of people do that.
Yeah.
But if we get the majority, and the most of the congregation there, then that'll sort of sweep the others in.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know what I mean by that. And so we enter his presence. We can do that through prayer. We can do that through confessing the word and our righteousness. We can do that through praise and worship, something like that. Amen. Let me say something to the praise and worship team, especially the leaders of the praise and worship team. Your part is at the beginning of the service, right?
Yep.
And so you should play a role. Think of it this way: you play a role in helping to identify where the congregation is that day, even though the last service might have been a humdinger, a stem winder. But the next service, people come in under a cloud of condemnation, under distractions. This happened, this happened, you know.
Yeah. Come on, sir.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yes, sir.
Feelings.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you got to recognize, okay, they came in different today. What's the Holy Ghost want us to do to get the congregation from where they are to prepare them for what the pastor has in the word or what the move of the Spirit is today or whatever?
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's your job.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you have to be spirit led to do that. And it might not be the song list you had prepared. You might have had it prepared because that ministered to your spirit. But when you get in, you realize they ain't there. They're not ready for that flow. I got to do this before we can get to that. Right? Praise the Lord. And so we've got to depend on the Holy Ghost. It's a dependence on the Holy Ghost, constant dependence on the Holy Ghost. Because, you can have you can have a marvelous time of prayer in your own individual prayer closet. I mean, yesterday morning, woohoo, man, oh, glory. The angels came down and sang and all kinds of things happened. It seemed like it, But then you go the next day and say, how did I get into that? Oh, I know what I did. I did this. And so you do that the next day and boop, nothing. There's no anointing on that.
Right.
You ever been there?
Yes, sir.
Tell your neighbor it's a dependence on the Holy Ghost every day.
Dependence on the Holy Ghost.
Every day. Maybe that's where the anointing was yesterday, but maybe today it's not on that. Maybe today it's on something. Maybe it's today it's on just saying, Father, maybe it's just confessing your righteousness today. But either way, there's a leading that will take you into the Spirit. God wants you to get into the Spirit every time. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
So it'll differ from one time to the other. And that's the way services are like this. So praise God. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes.
So proper heart preparation. That's what these things a lot of times are. They're properly preparing people to get into whatever God wants them to have. And so don't wait till you get to the service to do that, especially these kinds of prayer times. Do that in your car. Do that before you come, come to church or something, and build yourself up and get yourself ready to go into the presence of God. Amen. And so before we start praying here in a minute, let's remind ourselves, Revelation 12:11, they overcame the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Right? He's talking about overcoming sin consciousness. Or self-consciousness.
Yes.
To really be effective in prayer, you can't be self-conscious.
Yes.
You got to be God-conscious.
Yes.
Got to be word-conscious.
Yes.
Not unconscious, God-conscious.
Amen.
Word-conscious.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
We got people that are self-conscious and all kinds of, but God wants us to be word-conscious, God-conscious.
Yes. Right.
God and so develop that before you get to these times of prayer. God wants us to learn to put some value on the blood.
Yes.
Get condemnation off of us, feelings off of us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And develop in righteousness consciousness and not depend on the others in the church whenever we all get into prayer to help us get into that.
Yes.
I mean, this is not just for prayer. This is just for life. Learn to get that stuff off of you in life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so if you learn to do this and you practice this, you'll learn to find the unction. In these flows. And once you get that stuff off of you, there'll be an unction there.
Yeah.
You go with that unction before you know it. You're flowing in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And You know, an hour ago, you were all beaten up with condemnation, and here you are flowing, and God's using you, and you're moving through you, and you go, what? Well, see, God wasn't mad at me after all. See, all those feelings back there where I thought, God's mad at me. He's done with me. He doesn't love me anymore. I failed. I'm unworthy. All those feelings, here he is moving on me, and the Holy Ghost is flowing. See, look at it. He wasn't mad at me. Amen. Hallelujah. And learn to detect these little things that come to your mind or try to get on the inside. Good. Like I failed, God doesn't love me, and all those kind of little things.
That's good.
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. I've learned this, that there are people that they have a wonderful treasure on the inside of them. This is really everybody, but certain individuals, I'm talking about certain individuals in prayer. They have a wonderful treasure on the inside of them. But when you first come in contact with them and start interacting with them, you might not see it because they're living under that cloud of condemnation or something. Does that make any sense? And that sense of unworthiness has covered that gifting up. But the joy of pastoring is getting the word inside of people like that. And feeding them the truth of what God's word says about their standing before God and their right to approach God boldly and obtain.
Amen.
And watch that word make them blossom like a flower.
Amen. Amen.
And they develop in prayer and they come to prayer. And before you know it, they're like, "Wow, I sure hope they're at prayer today."
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about? Because that what which is inside of them started blossoming.
Amen.
Does that make any sense? Tell your neighbor, you're a treasure. Amen. You got a treasure on the inside of you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because whenever they get schooled in that knowledge of righteousness, that those people that sort of, they had that treasure in them, but you wouldn't really see it at first. They get schooled in their knowledge of their righteousness. They get established in their righteousness. And then that gift starts flourishing, starts coming out.
Amen.
Because they don't let the devil beat them up and you know that condemnation sort of makes that gift, you know, kind of pushes it down. That makes sense? Well, I don't want to make any mistakes. Well, just you're righteous even if you make a mistake. Well, what if I get bold and I begin to, you know, deal with the devil in prayer one night and maybe I make a mistake? Well, we'll just swallow up the mistake and we'll just go on. You're standing before God is righteousness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of you believe God would rather you miss it trying to hit it than he would miss it trying to pull back all the time? And praise the Lord. Now, before we wrap this up and start praying here, just a couple minutes. The goal, remember Acts 4, they lifted up their voice with one accord. That was recorded. Heaven's record of that was that it was one voice. Oh, we know all of them lifted up their voice, but heaven heard it as one because it was united prayer. Your goal in corporate prayer is to supply the corporate anointing that's flowing in that prayer time with the river that's coming out of your own spirit. Did you hear what I said? Your goal should be in this time of corporate prayer is to supply the corporate flow of the Spirit in the prayer time with the river that's coming out of your own spirit. Remember, out of your belly will flow rivers. Talking about your spirit. Out of your spirit will flow rivers, right?
Amen.
And so as you do that and you bring it in faith, you know, we all might be praying like here in a minute, camp meeting. But we're all praying about different parts of it.
Yes.
And every part of camp meeting is getting supplied.
Yes.
Yes. Praise God.
Amen.
And in the ears of God, it's one sound.
Yes.
It's unity.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. There's nothing like unity in the Spirit. It's a little like this. You ever heard of, I remember whenever I was, I don't know why we did this. I mean, the only reason we went was because it was a chance to get out of town and goof off. But the music teacher at school took us to Washington, D.C. to hear one of the orchestras, Philharmonica, whatever it was. I don't remember what it was. It wasn't important to me. I just wanted to goof off. Right? Field trips, that's when you goof off.
All right, yeah.
Come on, somebody. So, but I remember going down there and hearing that. And we got in there a little early, and they're in there. They're all tuning up and everything. It just didn't make any melody at all. But that conductor got up there and he tapped that stick and he lifted up and then everybody's, and he starts doing this And there's many instruments, but they were all in unity.
Yes.
And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Even a guy that was a rocker. I like that. That was pretty cool. You're looking sanctimonious like you. Like you listened to gospel when you were 14 years old. I hope some of you did, but I don't think all of you did. So there's a lot of different instruments, but when they come together in unity, it really was one voice. Right? Isn't that right? And that leader brought them into one flow, and it sounded like almost one. Well, that's the way corporate prayer is supposed to be.
Amen.
Right? That leader brings that whole group into one flow, and they become as one. And there's even times, you ever notice that, I remember this when we were down there, I think it was the Philharmonic, whatever. How many of you know, there's a lot of them. But I remember that guy, he's doing this, and then he's over here maybe in the cello, he's directing the cellos, and he's pulling them out. There's something that the cello, this is a part, the cellos have the lead or something.
Yes.
And then it goes to something else.
Yes.
Some other instruments.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the way corporate prayer is sometimes. There's times we're just all making one sound. And yet a particular unction comes on one individual. And at the time, they're actually taking the lead.
Yeah.
Someone said, I thought the pastor was the lead. Ultimately, the Holy Ghost is the leader.
Yes.
The pastor's just there to get everybody started in the right direction and bring them together into unity.
Yes,
but I have no desire to be the one leading everything all the time.
Right.
The Holy Ghost needs to be, we need to all learn to flow. And whenever we got it, be bold and step out and you give what we got.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about prophesying to somebody.
Right.
We're not here to prophesy to one another. But we're here to flow in prayer to God.
Yeah.
Well, I got something while I was praying for somebody else. Well, just hold it.
Yeah.
You mean you don't give out everything you get? No, not probably. I don't probably give out 50%, 70% of everything I get. Well, are you disobeying God? No, it's not for me to give out. Sometimes it's for me to pray for them or to know something that I need to know to help them or something. You know, I might help them and not even mention that the Lord said anything to me. Be good stewards of these things, right? Well, let's stand to our feet. Let's pray. We've been talking. Let's pray. Hallelujah.